joined by our first guest of the evening, a great, great actor that we've all known and loved for years and years and years. But kids out there, you're watching Ballers on HBO. You're watching Get Shorty on the Netflix. You've seen him. We're joined now by Steven Weber. Steven, how are you this fine, fine evening?
Good evening, Tim, and thanks for playing the Wings theme. I just got paid.
Hey, oh, it's a big night in the household. Absolutely. We're huge, huge fans of Wings. It was a great show, and I know it happened before the golden age of TV 2.0, but for us here in the studio, that was kind of a little golden
now,
age.
What do you mean before the golden age? That was Thursday night NBC.
That was big.
That was huge.
The old days, you know. Now with modern technology, every moment of the day could be Thursday night on NBC, so it makes no difference.
That was a heck of real estate. I'd forgotten about that.
It was right after Cheers.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, it was sort of the tail end of the whole era. I mean, it really, a few years later, everything kind of changed over to what it is now. Yeah, it was a great show. We had a great time.
Internets came along.
Yeah, then the internets came along. But do you get like the loyal followers, like the old campaigners who kind of stalk you and like ask you detailed questions about the plot lines on Wings and all of that? Are there big fans out there, aren't there?
Yeah, there still are a lot of fans, and arguably it still holds up. You know, the shows themselves were never that complex or super sexy or super controversial. So, you know, I don't get people with long kind of conspiracy theories talking about the show or character backstories. They'll just say something like, "Hey, Big Sandwich," or something like that.
It was classic.
Oh, that's right.
It was classic sitcom fare. It was funny.
And you watched it.
It was smart. There was kooky. There was, you know, all of those elements. And it was, yeah, you watched it.
Yeah, thank you. We had a great time. Well, so long, guys. Thank you.
No. We want to talk about all the great stuff you're doing now.
I got to say, before we get to what you're doing now, there was a show that I thought was great, and I thought you were great in it, and somehow it got robbed. Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Great.
Which I thought was a fine program. How it didn't get a second season, what happened? Was there a conspiracy against that show, or did Aaron Sorkin suddenly become persona non grata?
Since I'm not in the kind of the offices of the studio, I have no idea what happened. I'm sure
you just play them on TV
on some level. Yeah, I just play authoritarian dickheads in suits. I'm not that way in real life. But in the case of Studio 60, part of me feels like people have their knives out for Aaron and for the show after the mammoth success of West Wing. And it was almost like standing at the birth of a baby and when it's born saying, "Oh, there it is. Why isn't it walking? Why isn't it talking? What's wrong with it? We hate this baby."
Why isn't it the West Wing? Why isn't it exactly the same as the West Wing?
Why isn't it the West Wing? And look, again, I can say this. The show Studio 60 was flawed, you know, in a bunch of areas, but it also needed time to work itself out. I mean, most of the great shows, the shows that we love, had lots of time to amass an audience. It wasn't as hit or miss as it is now, you know. I mean, a show like Seinfeld was narrowly missed being canceled a couple of times, and I think Larry David just stood in the parking lot at NBC and was screaming at executives.
Sounds like Larry David.
You know, leaving it on the air until it got a huge following, and you could say that about a lot of shows.
Huh. And now looking at what you're doing, I mean, you're involved in these great TV shows like Ballers and that. How is being part of those sorts of shows kind of different than the way you started your career back in the era of Wings? How has TV changed for you and for actors who are trying to do the great jobs that you're doing now?
Well, I mean, first of all, I kind of always wanted to be a journeyman actor. And so I guess my early success on Wings, in a way, almost robbed me of that. And I'm actually having that sensibility now. I'm more of a journeyman actor. I mean, as TV has changed, obviously in a lot of ways, the viewership has changed, and you know, the way it's broadcast has changed. But you know, what hasn't changed is that there's still you know, pretty much a hunger for youth and beauty. Mm. And so what I'm very grateful for is the fact that I've gone past my expiration date and become the character actor that I always admired when I was a kid. But luckily, there's a lot of great material on TV nowadays, especially in cable. I wish, though, that network took more chances. I always thought that if The Sopranos aired on CBS at 10 p.m., It would get an enormous audience.
But would it have? Would they have ever done it?
Oh, well, who knows? I don't know. It's so funny that without getting political or ideological, or in my case, idiot-logical, I always thought if corporations own these networks and they want to make money, they should err on the side of making stuff that's not just cheap, but also quality.
Right.
You make just as much money and you'll get a huge loyal audience as opposed to that kind of... have a big opening weekend and then move on to the next thing, kind of. I don't know. I'm rambling. It's late.
Yeah, the big of the corporation, they like a sure thing. They like a sure thing.
Sure thing that brings in money week in, week out. Now, I want to point out for our listeners that people know you as this great TV actor, but you've got a deep and abiding love of the stage. How does acting on the stage in front of an audience, a live audience, doing the performance night in, night out, how does that differ from kind of TV and film work? And which one do you really like more? You can just share with us.
I will, thank you. I do prefer theater. I was trained in theater, and I guess the reason is that it's a more immediate experience, not only for the actor, but also for the audience. There's something very affecting about being in a space live with a bunch of people, and occasionally something brilliant and wonderful can happen. It sounds all sort of airy-fairy, but the fact is that there is a big difference. Now, look, there's people who are brilliant on screen, brilliant screen actors and TV actors, but there is something a little deeper or magical, if you will, about the theater. And look, I mean, it was the thing that gave me my shot in the arm in third grade when I did a production of Where the Wild Things Are, and I began to improvise. People began to laugh, and that was it.
There you go.
You know, but it is, there's something more satisfying to me anyway about being on stage. You're in the pantheon, kind of. There's this, and it's not something that anybody can do. I mean, I sometimes think, you know, when I'm cynical or drunk or both, that any boob can be a screen actor, you know, because you could do it over and over and over.
You get infinite shot. You're doing 30 seconds at a time. You'll get it right eventually.
That's right.
But I'm really interested in this play, this new project that he's in. It has a really interesting subject. Tell us more about that.
Well, I'm working for L.A. Theater Works, and L.A. Theater Works is kind of the preeminent radio theater producers, and they put on amazing plays with great actors over the years, but for radio, adaptations of plays and stuff. And I'm working with the great Alfred Molina in a play called A Walk in the Woods by Lee Blessing, which was produced on Broadway years ago, and was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. And yeah, it's very topical. It's got a political theme. It's basically a Russian and an American negotiator come together and literally take a walk in the woods. It takes place at the height of the Cold War, and they're talking about nuclear arms.
I remember the Cold War.
I see that there's going to be a post-performance discussion following the 3 p.m. matinee on Saturday with Professor Richard Anderson. The reason why I bring that up is there's 60 degrees of separation for all these things. Professor Anderson was my professor at UCLA.
No.
And wrote one of my law school essays for my admittance to law school.
Wow.
And I had three different classes with him, and I got all A's on.
So do you recommend him as an MC questioner for Steven?
Yes.
I think he'll do a good job.
Yeah, I think he's
all
great.
All right, I'll bring your name up to him, okay?
Yes. Philip Sparks.
Philip Sparks, class of, what class were you,
91?
92. 92 yeah. from UCLA.
Guys, it's my night. I don't want to
say it. Don't share this.
Stop interrupting, Phil.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Now, can you give our listeners out there, because we featured L.A. Theater Works many, many times over the years on the show, could you give our audience some of the details about when the performance is, how they can take part, what those details are?
No.
Oh, sorry about that.
Of course I will. Here we go.
Sorry.
There are four performances that are going to take place on the on January 25th through the 27th, so that's next week.
Yes.
And it's at the James Bridges Theater at UCLA.
Go Bruins.
UCLA.
Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
Yeah, go Bruins. Take it easy, guys. Take it easy.
We're all again. Bruins here.
My night.
Okay.
Let me have something. And you can get tickets at, if you go online, to latw.org. And again, I'm thrilled to death. I'm working with Alfred Molina.
Yeah,
great actor.
Awesome.
And forget is this... me. You're very kind to say kind things about me, but... He's the guy. He's an amazing actor, and I'm so thrilled to be working with him.
And is this going to be on the radio subsequently?
It will be on the radio machine at some point, but I'm sure it'll be podcast and available on people's phones and beepers or whatever the hell people
want. They do a really right. good job. They partner with NPR.
Right.
They partner
right.
with iTunes. And so have you're in the rehearsals now for this. What is it like to see the guy with the coconut shells?
Tim's all about the sound effects guy.
The
Foley
like,
artist.
Yeah. The Foley. Yeah, the guy making all this sound. Yeah. That must be cool.
Well, I thought you were talking about Alfred, who does wear...
Does he just bring those with him?
He's eccentric, but, you know, what are we going to say?
Yeah.
The Foley performers are fantastic and real craftspersons and artists. I mean, they really got to know what they're doing, and it's fantastic to watch. And occasionally it pulls focus when you have the Foley... That's why they always put the Foley people behind the actors on the stage, and I'm not kidding, because
to force you to look at the actors, or at least through them.
Through them, that's right. They're transparent anyway. Sure.
I want to thank you so much, Steven Weber. Great, great actor. You can see him on your screens in shows like Ballers. You loved him in Wings, but definitely, if you can, take time, friends and neighbors, go out and see L.A. Theater Works, just in beautiful Westwood. Beautiful, beautiful part of the city.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me on the air. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Friends and neighbors, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to be back with more of The Bigger Picture in just 2 minutes' time.